friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The field is now set for Monday's round of 16 draw in the UEFA Champions League, Europe's premier club football competition. The French club Lyon clinched the final qualifying spot Wednesday night with a one-all draw against Shakhtar Donetsk in Ukraine. The match was played in a freezing sleet in Kiev, and you might say Nabil Fekir warmed the hearts of Lyon supporters with his goal in the 65th minute. That preserves second place in Group F for Lyon behind Manchester City, which beat Hoffenheim 2-1, thanks to Leroy Sane's two goals. But back to Nabil Fekir of Lyon. He also was a member of France's World Cup champion team this year. Nabil came on as a substitute and played the last 9 minutes of the World Cup final in Moscow, where France beat Croatia 4-2 to win its second World Cup trophy. Meanwhile, the race for this year's UEFA Champions League trophy will once again include Spanish power Real Madrid, which had a night to forget it on Wednesday. Real rested most of its regulars and lost 3-0 to CSKA Moscow. It was Real Madrid's worst home defeat in European competition, and the reigning European champions were jeered off the field. Real already had won Group G and will be one of the seeded teams in Monday's draw. Now, this marks the first season when the 16 group stage places were guaranteed for the big four leagues in Europe: Spain, England, Germany, and Italy. The four countries put 12 teams into the round of 16, with all four of England's entrants advancing for the second consecutive season. They are Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool, and Tottenham Hotspur. Spain has three teams. Real Madrid, bidding for a fourth consecutive European trophy and record-extending 14th overall. Real City rival Atletico Madrid and Barcelona. Germany also has three teams in the round of 16. Borussia Dortmund, Bayern Munich, and Schalke. Italy will be represented by Roma and Juventus. France also has two teams, Lyon and Paris Saint-Germain. The two other teams in Monday's round of 16 draw are FC Porto of Portugal and Ajax Amsterdam of the Netherlands. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Morocco's sports minister says his country will not bid to host the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. Rachid Talbi Alami is quoted as saying, "Morocco did not intend to run for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations and will not do so." The Moroccans were reported as possible replacement hosts for Cameroon, which was stripped of Nations Cup hosting rights on November 30th by the Confederation of African Football, CAF. CAF has given countries until 2200 GMT UTC on Friday to make official bids to host next year's Nations Cup. CAF says it will choose a new host on January 9th. Now, in June this year, Morocco lost to a joint bid by the United States, Canada, and Mexico to host the 2026 World Cup. But if we put that failed World Cup bid aside, I would still describe 2018 as a successful year for Moroccan football. The Atlas Lions of Morocco qualified for the World Cup for the first time in 20 years. And while the Moroccans didn't advance out of a very tough World Cup group, I thought they performed admirably in Russia. Morocco suffered hard-fought 1-0 losses to Iran and Portugal, and they also played to a 2-all draw against 2010 World Cup champion Spain. At the club level, Morocco's Raja Casablanca lifted the CAF Confederation Cup trophy on December 2nd. And if we go back to February 4th, Morocco won the African Nations Championship Tournament. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, let's look back on Morocco's triumph, and I began with some kudos. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Atlas Lions of Morocco, who lifted the African Nations Championship trophy with a convincing 4-0 victory over the Super Eagles of Nigeria in Casablanca. Ayoub El Kabi scored Morocco's last goal in the 73rd minute. And let's give him a Sunny Side of Sports salute, too. El Kabi scored 9 goals overall in the competition and was named the best player of the tournament. Our Voice of America listeners will remember this 3-week tournament in Morocco was for locally based players in Africa. Joining us now with more details of the final is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Morocco became the first host nation to claim the CHAN title with a convincing 4-0 win after they overpowered the Super Eagles of Nigeria, who played most of the second half with just 10 men. The Atlas Lions become the fourth different winner of the CHAN title, joining DR Congo, Tunisia, and Libya on the honors board. Kunle Solaja is one of Nigeria's sports editor.
I envisage that Nigeria will find it very difficult to beat Morocco. But I never thought it would be a merciless beating that Nigeria will receive. Let's consider some facts. One, this is a defensive side facing an ultra-attacking side. And if you watch the first half very well, you discover that the Nigerian team was only trying to absorb pressure.
Some other Nigerian fans are not surprised the Super Eagles of Nigeria were beaten to the title by the Atlas Lions of Morocco.
Nigerian team should even have no business getting to the final, owing to where they played from the beginning. You know, I think they were very, very lucky getting a 92nd-minute goal against Angola in the quarterfinal. That is when I think they were just good enough for the quarterfinal. They shouldn't have gotten beyond that stage.
It sounded like Nigeria just got there by luck. They were just lucky to have, you know, scaling through till the final.
The 2018 CHAN tournament should have taken place in Kenya, but the East African country could not get most of its venues ready, leading to CAF stripping Kenya of the hosting right. Nick Mwadwewa, president of the Kenya Football Federation, has been speaking on why Kenya lost the hosting right to the tournament.
I'd say that I'm not happy the way they communicated it, and that's what I've told them, but I know the reasons why we lost it. And these are colleagues, we have to get more serious. Morocco picked this up when? In October, and no hitch delivered tournament.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. There were celebrations in the southern U.S. city of Atlanta this week as fans cheered for their new Major League Soccer champion team. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson has that story as well as other sports news.
Atlanta is celebrating its first sports championship in 23 years as Major League Soccer's Atlanta United won the MLS Cup 2-0 over Portland Timber. Despite cold, drizzly weather, thousands of fans turned out for a downtown parade and rally to celebrate Atlanta's first championship since the Atlanta Braves won the 1995 World Series. Defender and club captain Michael Parkhurst couldn't say enough about how well his teammates played.
Yeah, so proud of the group. I mean, all playoff long, we stepped up game after game. You know, tonight, what a performance from the boys.
In front of a record MLS crowd of 73,019 playing in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Josef Martinez opened the scoring in the 39th minute with his 35th goal of the season, and Franco Escobar added a second after the break. For Parkhurst, the 2005 MLS Rookie of the Year and 2007 Defender of the Year, this championship was a new experience.
You know, I looked up in like the 93rd minute and I knew it. It was over. And a big smile on my face. And, you know, I've dreamed of what it felt like to be in the locker room with the champagne. I've heard it before, you know, from the other locker room. And it was worth the wait. It was special to be in there.
The club began playing just last season as the 22nd overall expansion team of the league. Already, Atlanta's fan base is one of the largest in MLS and ranked by Forbes magazine as the most valuable at $300 million. MLS Commissioner Don Garber.
You know, there's no doubt that this club has been one of the great stories in the history of our league. And in my opinion, and many of you have heard me say this before, I think it's one of the great stories in professional sports.
Garber says Atlanta United shows how far Major League Soccer has come in 23 seasons.
When this league was launched, we had a great vision of trying to build a league that could earn the respect, not just of those people that were from the game and part of the game for so many years, but could earn the respect of the rest of the world. And I think what's happening here is a very strong statement about how our country is a true soccer nation.
Garber and the league are also celebrating the largest television viewership for the MLS Cup final in at least 20 years and a huge 71% jump over last year's championship. Even with the win, Atlanta is looking for a new coach. Gerardo Tata Martino of Argentina is heading to Mexico to become that country's national team coach.
It feels like ages, last time I won, yeah.
Louis Oosthuizen had not won in nearly 3 years, but the 36-year-old South African ended the drought by winning his native country's golf championship.
It was a tough 4 days, you know, I felt I kept everything together up until the end there and, you know, played well today. I started poorly, but really came back nicely.
Oosthuizen shot a final round 67 to cruise to victory at the South African Open at Rand Park Golf Course in Johannesburg. His 18-under 266 was 6 strokes lower than French runner-up Romain Legasque.
Yeah, that's a really good round of golf. I play really solid, and from the first to the 18, I just focused to do my best on every shot and stay patient because I know the condition was tough, and I just do that, and everything was going on a good way. My putting was really solid. That was the key, I think.
South African Charles Schwartzel finished in a three-way tie for third. While he was 8 shots back, the 2011 Masters champion was still a winner because he qualified to play in the next Open Championship.
It's a nice bonus. You know, I was hoping to do better in this tournament, but, you know, bad weekend. But I'm still happy that at least I get to play the Open in Ireland, which is going to be very nice.
Along with his fellow players, Schwartzel would like to end on top of one of the older events.
Between the Masters and the Open, and you know, there's so much history behind it. It'd be very nice to have your name on this trophy one day.
Legasque also qualified for the Open in a spectacular short amount of time.
Everything go really quick, you know, like 3 months ago I was on Challenge Tour and I didn't get any card, and now I'm normally qualified for the Open, so really, really happy and just continue on the way I am, and some good things are coming, I think.
Oosthuizen did win the Open in 2010 and now has the South African Open title to go with it.
It's very special. I knew in the back of my head, you know, winning the Open and the SA Open will be something really special. It's the two oldest Opens in the world.
Come on. As in many other nations, bodybuilding and bodybuilding competitions in Malawi have long been regarded as a male-only sport. But 33-year-old Doreen Kumbatera is changing that perception. She is the only female bodybuilder in Malawi to be actively involved in competitions and has made a name for herself in fitness circles as she now aims to win medals at international competitions.
You guys, come here. Snowy, sit.
Doreen Kumbatera never intended to become a professional bodybuilder when she first began working out in a gym 3 years ago. An avid cyclist, Kumbatera said she went to the gym simply to build up her strength and confidence.
I saw that there are other avenues in bodybuilding, especially for women, like competing for fitness shows. And that's how I got more interested in bodybuilding, to see what else I can do with it.
Kumbatera has become Malawi's only female bodybuilding competitor. Standing 175 centimeters tall and weighing 72 kilograms, Kumbatera takes part in local men's contests. In October, she went to South Africa to be among the contestants in the Gentle Giant Bodybuilding Show. Kumbatera placed fifth out of the eight female contestants in the bikini fitness category.
And I was very excited about that, and I've learned a lot from that experience. And next year, I'm sure I'm going to do very, very well.
A single mother of one child, Kumbatera owes her love of sports to her father, Precious Kumbatera, a former national football team goalkeeper who used to take her on his training runs when she was a child.
We could climb the stairs at Kamuzu Stadium 20 times. Up and down one, up and down two, until you do 20. And we used to be very physically fit, eh? As young people, yes, we were okay. So probably she take a little bit of those genes from me.
Even though Kumbatera seems to have broken the bodybuilding glass ceiling, many Malawi gyms remain male-dominated. Women in Malawi tend to feel bodybuilding will make them lose their feminine appearance, which Kumbatera disagrees.
I still have my feminine curves. I still look like a woman. So it's because of that. As women, we don't produce that hormone, and we cannot look like men.
Malawi's National Weightlifting and Bodybuilding Association has plans for Kumbatera to promote its sports development program. Harold Mwangana is its general secretary.
We'll be moving around with her just to have a talk to some of the women who may be able to join the sport, because we have seen that other women, they are there, but they are shunning.
Kumbatera supports herself with money she earns from baking, graphic design, and architecture, a field in which she earned a degree. She's now working on various projects to raise funds to participate in more international bodybuilding competitions next year.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. A grueling international rowing competition called the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge is underway off the Canary Islands in Spain. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. And with that sound of the horn and the cheers of loved ones, a fleet of boats carried away nearly 30 teams of competitors in what has been called the world's toughest row. The racers, representing 12 countries around the world, will row 3,000 miles across the Atlantic Ocean. They began in La Gomera in the Canary Islands and will finish in Antigua. Most are expected to be at sea for between 30 to 90 days. However, the 2018 fleet includes last year's winners, who currently hold the world record for completing the race in just 29 days. The men and women in this year's challenge hope to earn their own place in the record books, and it seems the key is to stay calm and carry on.
We are feeling calm. We're just going to continue doing what we trained. You know, we have been preparing for this, so we're treating it just as another role, staying focused, staying together, and just working our shifts until we get home, one day at a time, one shift at a time.
It almost sounds cliche, but just the emotions, the mixture of everything together, it's quite hard to deal with. We're sorting out the boat. We've got some really kind of operational things to do, but at the same time, our tummies, our hearts, and our minds are just like, and I thought I was going to keep it together, but I just burst out crying when I saw my dad. And, it's weird. There's so much emotion, yet it feels quite calm. I just never experienced anything like it before.
Yeah, we're all feeling calm, collective, and yeah, ready to go. Nerves around, but I mean, we're all controlled and looking forward to getting going.
Well, they'll need to keep a firm grip on those nerves. The racers are traveling in boats that measure about 22 feet long and 6 feet wide. And small cabins provide little protection against the tropical storms, 40-foot waves, and sweltering heat the competitors could very well face. The adventurers ride solo, in pairs, trios, and teams of four. And this year, a team of five is featured for the first time. Also featured this year is Team Row of the Ocean, who are campaigning to make their city of Exeter in the United Kingdom plastic-free. A rowing duo from Denmark will be live-streaming their ocean row. And Team Antigua Island Girls are the first Antiguan all-women's team and first-ever all-black team to row across the Atlantic. Let's stay on the water and row to the River Nile in Egypt, where over 200 canoe and kayak racers recently competed in the country's first ever Egyptian Cup. Close to 200 athletes and 13 clubs participated in the event, with official national team coaches in attendance. The sport of canoeing was established in Egypt just over 20 years ago and is still seen as a relatively new sport in the country. For those two decades, competitions have been held under the Egyptian Rowing Association. The North African country currently holds no Olympic medals in the sport. However, the winners of Egypt's first national competition hope to race for gold for their country in the 2020 Tokyo Games. And that's all from me. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, the Toronto Raptors scored a big 20-point victory over the reigning champion Golden State Warriors in Oakland, California. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from Oakland.
The Raptors continue to be the best team in the NBA, and even without Kawhi, thumped the Warriors 113-93. Veteran Kyle Lowry led the Raptors with 23 points and 12 assists. Serge Ibaka added 20 points and 12 rebounds. Lowry says they simply didn't let the Warriors get comfortable.
Those guys are going to get their shots off, and you just got to make it as tough as possible. They're really good. They got four all-stars. They're talented. You just got to try to make the other guys beat you and understand that they're going to make shots, and they're going to make runs, and you just got to keep your composure.
Kevin Durant had a team-high 30 points for Golden State.
I don't think we overlooked anybody tonight. They just played better than us. And we respect every team that comes in here, no matter what their record is. And they play better than us. So we have to be a better basketball team next game and going down the line if we want to get to where we want to get to.
Stephen Curry made only 3 of 12 shots and scored just 10 points. The Warriors are 0-5 when failing to score 100 points. Ryan Leong, Oakland.
Thanks, Ryan. In Philadelphia, the Brooklyn Nets edged the host Philadelphia 76ers by 3 points. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia.
The Nets got a big effort from reserve guard Spencer Dinwiddie as he led the way in a 127-124 win over the 76ers. Dinwiddie scored 12 points in the first half as Brooklyn took a one-point halftime lead. With the Nets down by 4 in the third quarter, Dinwiddie scored 15 points as they outscored the Sixers 30-10. Dinwiddie, who scored 21 against the Sixers back in November, finished with a game-high 39 points, a career high.
It's not like a Sixers dedicated thing. I think I've just been fortunate to kind of hit some shots some situations.
Alan Crabb had 20. Joel Embiid had 33 for the Sixers.
Every time they play against us, they always seem to, take advantage, especially of they run a lot of pick and rolls and shoot a lot of threes, and they always seem to take advantage of that. They make them. So I got to give them a lot of credit. They play hard.
Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. And that wraps up the December 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Justin Thwaite. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
According to NASA, 97% or more of actively publishing climate scientists agree that climate warming trends over the past century are extremely likely due to human activities. But some of those who disagree and are skeptical of anthropogenic climate change claim that the models scientists base their findings on are flawed and overestimate global warming. To focus on concerns over current climate modeling and the remaining uncertainty over predictions on how climate will change, a number of scientists and engineers from across the U.S. say they'd like to rebuild climate models from the ground up. They propose a new consortium of researchers led by the California Institute of Technology take advantage of recent advances in the computational and data sciences to build a new type of model that will provide more precise climate predictions. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists, win prizes, and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Oh, man.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, managing editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.